Jared Lloyd. He covers BYU for the Daily Herald. BYU just had their spring game this past Saturday. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Awesome. I saw that the spring game was extremely well attended. How was the product of football on the field?
It was pretty basic, and I don't think you expected anything different. They held out a lot of the best guys. They didn't put them on the field for the actual game itself, and you know they weren't going to throw a lot of things out on the field for everybody to see at this point. They're more focused on getting the fundamentals down, making sure guys are in the right place, want to see how well they're tackling. So there wasn't a lot of blitz packages. The running game was very vanilla, just a couple of different running plays, and same with the pass game, maybe four or five different pass patterns, but very, very simple. But at the same time, you got to see some glimpses of what some guys are capable of doing. That's what the coaches wanted to get out of this particular event.
Who are some of those guys that maybe you got to see a glimpse of that maybe impressed you on Saturday?
You know, I've heard good things about some of the running backs, and I don't think there's any doubt that Jamal Williams is the guy right now at the running back spot, for BYU. But, you got a couple of guys in Trey Dye and K.J. Hall that did some nice things. They ran downhill. They were able to make the first guy miss and pick up a couple of extra yards. And, that was a good thing for them, for BYU to be able to have some depth back there. You got Algie Brown, who hopefully will be back and ready to go. And, when Jamal is on the field, that's definitely very dynamic. But with Ty Detmer's offense being that two-back pro-style offense, there's some opportunities for guys to make plays, and particularly if they can catch the ball out of the backfield. And, Trey Dye's a converted receiver, and K.J. Hall comes in with some experience there as well. So I was impressed with some of those guys, and I thought some of the safeties did some really, really nice things. I liked B.J. Fifita. I felt like he was doing a really good job at finding the ball from the safety position, securing the tackle, bringing the guy down. So there's some nice things that you're able to see from some guys that maybe aren't as big of a names as some of the others.
We've been talking for a little over a week now about where Utah is strong position-wise. Where's BYU's greatest position of strength right now, at least in spring ball?
Well, I think you got to point to the quarterback position as being one that you got to be excited about if you're a BYU fan, particularly if Taysom Hill comes back at 100%. Tanner Mangum didn't go very much in the spring game, but he showed what he can do, threw it up to Marone Putatau, and got a 27-yard touchdown, put the ball right on the money. That was a good pass. And, he made one or two passes that I think you would like to have back. But for the most part, his passing was on point, looked very, very strong. Bo Hodge looked a little bit better than he has in the past. Still working on things for Bo, but, he's still, a little bit younger than the other guys. And if you add Taysom Hill to that mix, and you've got, a couple of quarterbacks with a lot of experience, and a guy in Bo Hodge maybe as a backup that could come in if needs be and, help the team out. So I think you got to look at that group as being strong. I think you got to look at the linebackers as having a lot of guys that, are potentially really good playmakers and guys like Fred Warner you've got Harvey Longy there. And, there's a lot of guys in that area that I think should be pretty good in the scheme that Kalani Sitake wants to run.
And what about the flip side of that coin? Where's the biggest question mark right now for BYU positionally?
So I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what they're going to get out of the tight end. That's a position that they're still looking to, because they want to use the tight end more. Some of the guys have, had some ups and downs. I think that's an area. I think they want more depth on the offensive line. The first unit's pretty good, but, once you get behind that, there's still some, there's some holes there. And that's a concern because, as you guys know, in a long season, you can't rely on your entire offensive line, your first string offensive line to be healthy the entire time. You're probably going to have guys, miss some games. You might even lose somebody for the season. You've got to have depth there. So I think that's a concern as well. I think that the cornerbacks are still learning exactly what Sitake, what Leisa Tuiaki's defense, what they're needed to do as far as, being able to play both man and zone, do a little more man than they have in the past and just picking that up. I think they'll get there, but I think that there's still some work that definitely has to be done in that area as well.
Now that BYU's worked their way through their spring, how much different is this team or program than it was under Bronco?
Well, it's a very different feel, and they've still got a week left. They'll finish off a week where they've got a couple of games still going on and, a couple of days of practice and then the alumni game, the last thing that they do for spring. So they're still wrapping some things up, but feel is very, very different. And Bronco Mendenhall was very much a perfectionist, and he demanded perfection from guys. And that can be really good. but it can also get guys to be really tense and be afraid to make a mistake and afraid of consequences they, you know, mess up. And so there was some tenseness there. This is a very different approach where it's much more relaxed, much more, you know, hey, we're all working together. We're all learning together, you know, much more of a team, you know, dynamic and, you know, everybody try and be on the same page and be comfortable in the system and learn what you need to do. And if you make a mistake, it's all right. We'll work with it. I don't know if one approach is better than another. Everybody's excited about the current approach, probably because it's different. The big question is, how does that translate onto the field on Saturdays? And we won't know that until fall.
Obviously, a real sensitive subject, and it's sad and tragic news this weekend coming out of Idaho where Taysom Hill's older brother passed unexpectedly. He was sent home, right? He was sent back. The team dismissed him and let him go take care of that business.
Yeah, he wasn't with the team on Saturday, and that was where he needed to be. He talked to a few of the guys about that, and it's an interesting thing because it just adds a little perspective. They all want to be out on the field, you know, doing well, having fun, learning, growing, you know, getting better at this game that they love so much. But in the back of their minds, you know, that's one of their brothers, one of the guys that they've played football with. A lot of them have played with him for 3-4 years or whatever, and, you know, knowing that they're going through a tough time and something that doesn't have anything to do with football. You know, real life's different sometimes, and sometimes real tough things happen in real life. And this game that's so much fun to play, to watch, to cover as a reporter, it's still just a game. And, you know, family things and life things like that, they still come up. And so there was a little bit, you know, just kind of that sense of, you know, life still happens, and, you know, they all wanted the best for Taysom and, you know, wished him the best and, you know, expressed their support for his situation and that of his family.
When Taysom does return to the team at some point, we get a little closer to fall. What's his role going to look like on this team? Where do you put him and Tanner, and how do they figure out exactly how they're going to do this QB situation?
I don't know if anybody knows at this point, and that includes Ty Detmer, and he's probably got a better idea than anybody else. Maybe Taysom has a pretty good idea, but, you know, I think a lot of people, because of how good Tanner was last year, and don't get me wrong, he was really good, but I think a lot of people forget just how good Taysom was. I mean, we saw him for one half of football, and other than that, you know, we've seen him for basically one half of football in, what, the last year and a half, you know, since he's had these injuries. A lot of it comes down to his health. You know, if he's able to be healthy, you know, he was such a leader for this team last year that I don't see him stepping out of that role. Now, they might look at doing different things as far as the quarterback position and how they handle that, but I expect him to be the main leader as long as his health allows him to do that.
Jared, thanks so much for taking the time and coming here into enemy territory on the flagship home of the Utes.
Hey, it's always fun to join you guys. I'm really excited for that Week 2 game. I think Utah's got a lot of really good pieces. You know, that bowl game turned out to be pretty close. I think this will be another classic game when these two teams, you know, meet here in fall. That's going to be a lot of fun. I love those games.
Yeah, it's actually going to be interesting because usually there's enough separation from playing one year to the next year that I don't think one game really has much to do with the other. But there's only, for both teams, there's only one game in between, so it should be pretty wild when this one happens in Week 2 of next season.
Yeah, bring it on. You can't get here soon enough. That's what football is all about.